There are certain words that even though we hear or repeat them over and over again in our daily conversations or in the daily news or even in our most solemn prayers, sometimes we don't stop to think about what they really mean. One of the words that finds its way, one of those words finds its way into our gospel today. That word is peace. Jesus tells his apostles, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." But what is this peace that Jesus leaves to his apostles? Is it something simple like the tranquility of a quiet place, like the places he used to take his apostles to relax and to pray? Or is it something more earth-shattering, something like an end to violence or an end to war in the world? Or was he promising them that they would never argue amongst themselves again? Or was he simply extending a common social greeting? Peace. Peace, man. To answer this question, let's think about the one place in Holy Scripture where there's absolute peace. In the first two chapters of the book of Genesis. At the beginning of the world, in the Garden of Eden. There we find that there is peace in every sense of the word. There's harmony between people, specifically between husband and wife. There's harmony between man and nature. And there's harmony between man and himself. Most especially, there's harmony between man and God. We're told that Adam and Eve lived with God and that they walked with him in the garden in the cool of the evening. And why not? This is what God created them for. Our God of love created man to be like him, in his own image and likeness, so that he could give them his love and receive love in return. And that is the peace of paradise, sharing God's one life of love forever. The Old Testament tells us how this peace was lost when Adam and Eve wouldn't keep God's word. But this is also the peace that the New Testament tells us is restored in Christ. St. Paul tells us that Jesus is like the new Adam and that all things are made new in him. Christ comes to restore the peace of paradise, to bring us to share forever the one life of love with God. And so on the night before he suffered, at the Last Supper, Jesus tells his apostles, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him." This is the promise of the restoration of living with, dwelling with God. And doing this by doing what Adam refused to do, keeping God's word. Jesus goes on to say, "Not as the world gives peace do I give it to you." The peace of Christ is not simply the tranquility of a quiet place to relax. It isn't an end to war or violence in the world. It isn't merely a social greeting. The peace of Christ is found in entering into the perfect life and love that exists between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, being one with them by imbibing their grace and hearing and being transformed and by keeping God's word. This is the peace of Christ, the peace of paradise, the peace of heaven itself. Heaven, paradise, the ultimate paradise, is the perfection and completion of this peace. But we begin to share in this peace even in this life. So that even as Christ kept his Father's word perfectly by obediently accepting the violence of the cross, he also experienced the peace of being in perfect union with his Father and the Spirit. So that even in the midst of his agony and pain, he had the interior peace to promise the repentant thief, "Amen, I say to you, this day you will be with me in paradise." Think about that for a moment. Jesus on the cross, in all that pain. And he has these two robbers arguing back and forth. He doesn't say, shut up. He doesn't say, you know, you're cursed, leave me alone. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. This interior peace may seem impossible for human beings to attain. And in a sense it is for man. But for God, nothing is impossible. And with His grace, nothing is possible for us. So how do we find this peace? We start, as I said, by keeping His word. As Jesus went on to tell His apostles at the Last Supper, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. We cannot share the peace of Christ if we refuse to enter into and live the love of Christ. And when we live in that love, abide in that love, God will come and dwell in us. But how does He come to dwell in us? Of course, God moves as He will, and He can give His grace in any way He wants, but He has promised us that He will come to us when we receive the sacraments. For example, He came to us in baptism when He washed away the sin of Adam on our souls and made us His sons and daughters. And He did that, and as He did that, He came, and we say it is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, or the indwelling of really the Blessed Trinity. They dwell inside us, beginning at baptism. And He came to us again in confirmation, when the Holy Spirit came to us with the fullness of His gifts, strengthening the gifts of baptism, strengthening our bonds that we have to Christ and to His Father and to the Spirit. And He comes to us in the sacrament of penance, where we're again reconciled to Him, again and again, every time we need to be. As a priest prays over us, and right before he forgives our sins, he prays, may God grant you pardon and peace. And nowhere more fully or profoundly is this same grace of peace given, this same gift of peace, than in the sacrament we're here to celebrate today, in the Eucharist. The sacrament which the early church often just called, not sometimes it would call it the Eucharist, but sometimes it would call it simply peace. The sacrament which is a foretaste of the eternal banquet in heaven. The sacrament that brings us into communion or unity with the cross, and thereby into the act of love that brings us into the life of the resurrection. The act of obedience, Jesus' obedience, the obedience of the new Adam that reconciles fallen man to God and offers him the life of the true paradise of heaven, eternal life in the middle of the Trinity. Now, this notion of peace is lost on most people, even sadly, most Catholics and Christians in general. It's true that we all want there to be peace between nations and communities and families. But when we speak of this peace, we usually mean a peace founded in temporary compromises and even embracing injustices. For example, I think of the peace that was arrived at in the armistice that ended World War I. If you know anything about history, you know that so-called peace ended one war, but really it set the stage for an even worse war, World War II, because it was an unjust peace. Or I think of where a wife agrees not to talk about her husband's drinking, and he agrees not to beat her very often. Or I think where parents agree not to talk about their adult children's falling away from the faith, and the children agree that they'll come home for Thanksgiving, for Christmas. Or I think when Christians agree to tolerate all sorts of immoral behavior in society and compromise their moral principles and legislation just so that they'd be allowed to live their own lives according to their own beliefs, even if it means being called bigots and hate mongers anyway. And I think nowadays especially about the peace that is when that comes when bishops and priests agree to turn a blind eye or to cover up abuse in the church just so that they can have a false peace that everyone will think that everything is just okay, great, because they're afraid for the truth to come out and to fix the problem. But in the end, they create an even worse scandal. This is the peace that the world gives. It is not the peace of Christ. Sometimes, because of the sinful choices of men, this worldly peace seems to be all we can hope for in relations between nations and people. But in the end, it's like a sip of water in a parched desert. Or really, more like a sip of salt water in a parched desert, compared to the true peace of Christ, the fountain of life-giving water springing up inside of us. All too often we settle for this impoverished notion of peace. And perhaps there's no better illustration of this in a ritual that we practice at many masses. At many masses, right before Holy Communion, the priest quotes the Lord Jesus from today's gospel saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give with you." But the prayers of the priest make it clear that he's not talking about worldly peace. Right before this, he just prayed, "Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that we may always be free from sin and safe from all distress." And immediately after, he says, "Graciously grant peace and unity in accordance with your will." But then the confusion often comes when the priests might invite the people, as we do normally on Sunday Mass, to offer each other the sign of peace. Just as Christ gave his peace to the apostles at the very first Mass at the Last Supper, the sign of peace at Mass today is meant to be a reminder that we're about to receive the peace that comes from the Eucharist, to share in the power of the cross and resurrection, his perfect act of love that restores us and lifts us up even to a higher paradise. The peace that flows from communion, Holy Communion, with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet all too often, it can become basically an expression of the way the world gives peace. A time to offer maybe a friendly greeting or even chat for a moment. And there's nothing wrong with that in the right situation. But that's not what the sign of peace means at Mass. When we do the sign of peace that way, it's sort of like, "The peace of the world be with you always." The peace of the world isn't horrible. I mean, we don't fight with each other. At least we got that going for us. But that's not the peace we're talking about at Holy Mass. It's a solemn ritual, a sign and a prayer that points toward the abiding, perfect, paradisal peace of Christ that's about to flow into us as we receive Holy Communion. Now, I've been here for almost 9 years now, and I've said this same thing many, many times, so maybe you're bored with me, but I want to thank you because I think you've listened to me, and I thank you for your efforts to incorporate this into the way we celebrate Mass here. The visiting priests always tell me how well you do the sign of peace. So thank you. But always we can improve, huh? Always. Myself included. And always we remember what it means. Nowadays, the word peace is thrown around as a panacea of all our problems. But what kind of peace? True and lasting peace? Peace of heart so that our hearts won't be troubled, or a false and temporary peace? Today, let this word resonate within you in its truest and deepest meaning. May it awaken in us the desire not to settle for anything less than the perfect peace of the perfect paradise of heaven, where we live in perfect peace and harmony with the Blessed Mother, Saint Raymond, all the angels and saints, with each other, and with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The true and mysterious peace we receive in this world by entering into Holy Communion with the Blessed Trinity. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Praise be Jesus Christ.